Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. Today, we're going to talk about the life of St. Maximilian Kolbe. Today is the memorial. The church celebrates that life. He was a martyr. He was a hero. I want to walk through his life, just chronologically, some key points in it, and then just talk about the precious gift it is to the whole church when we take time to just reflect on the life of the saints who've gone before us, like the liturgy says, marked by the sign of faith, who are now at rest. And he's part of the martyrs that are mentioned really in the book of Revelation. His name is not mentioned there, but he's joined that band. There's a passage in the book of Revelation where the prayers of the martyrs goes up like incense in the altar of heaven. It says that they conquered the devil. They conquered the devil by the strategies of the devil, the spiritual warfare and martyrdom that they had engaged in. They won the victory over satanic power that was set against them, the devil wielding the powers of death, trying to enslave people to get them to turn away from the Lord in the midst of just the most horrific moments. And they conquer him by the blood of the Lamb, it says, and by the word of their testimony, because they love not their lives even unto death. I'm going to take the last part of the program today to talk about what that means and what that actually looks like, and the call really of every disciple, those who are called to follow Jesus and are graced by the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to live a life that's surrendered in trust to God, to be able to fulfill and to step into whatever battle the Lord puts in our lives. So Maximilian Kolbe is born in 1894. His name was Raymond. At the age of 12, at a young age, he had a profound vision of the Virgin Mary that really was the key thing that shaped the whole course of his life. Think about that as just a 12-year-old. He later recalled and described it this way. He said, "That night I asked the Mother of God what was to become of me. Then she came to me holding two crowns, one white, the other red. The white meant that I should persevere in purity, and the red that I should become a martyr. I said that I would accept them both." He goes on to say, this mystical vision set him on a path of religious zeal and total consecration to Mary and a desire for heroic virtue. 12 years old. And he said, "I'll take them both. Desire for purity, willingness ultimately to suffer for the sake of the gospel." He entered the conventual Franciscans at age 16, and he took on the name Maximilian. He studied in Rome at the Pontifical Gregorian University and later earned a doctorate in philosophy and theology, and he was ordained finally in 1918. Father Kolbe was deeply influenced by the church's struggle against secularism, Freemasonry, communism, particularly during his time in Rome, where he witnessed the anti-Catholic demonstrations that were going on at the time. In October 1917, he became the founder, created the Militia of the Immaculata, the Army of the Immaculata, the total consecration to the Blessed Virgin Mary, a spiritual combat against evil, and evangelizing the world through Marian devotion. So really, the Lord sent Our Lady to Maximilian as a young boy to call him to the mission that the Lord had for him. And by grace, really, he came to understand the absolutely unique role that Our Lady plays in the spiritual battle and the spiritual combat in the world, and the role that Jesus himself made possible. Tomorrow's the solemnity of the Assumption of Our Lady. We'll talk about that a little bit more then. But he was consecrated to her, and he understood that she was in many ways leading, and that he needed to continue to lead others to her as she wanted to lead them in the path of her son. So total consecration to Blessed Virgin Mary was one way in which that happened, which is ultimately just a surrender of everything to her, to the Mother of God, to say she's the first missionary, the first disciple. She's very much involved. Think about all the ways in which Jesus sent her into the world at Fatima, at Cabejo, at Knock in Ireland, places like that, where she's bringing words from heaven. She's bringing encouragement to people. She's calling people to repentance. She's helping raise up apostolic voices within the church. And in the mystery of God's plan, that role that Mary plays, it often gets expressed by a particular call that she's meant to bring to an individual, a person. And then their yes and her mentoring, her shepherding, her discipling of them and calling them leads to very, very fruitful life and ministry. It ends up touching, like in Maximilian's case, millions and millions of people ultimately. And then the militia reminds us of a fundamental reality that in this world is characterized by spiritual combat. I think some people don't like that language, don't like that language connected modern mentality, don't like it somehow connected to God because God is love. And there's a lot of misunderstanding. We're talking about not combat against human beings. We're talking about spiritual combat. As the apostles exhorted us, as Jesus exhorted us in the scripture, that we have an enemy, Satan, and he rules a kingdom. It's the kingdom of darkness. And as Peter said, he's like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Jesus said he's a murderer. He's a liar. And it's real. One of the things we notice in someone like Maximilian is he's got the right balance in understanding the nature of what's really going on the planet. It's not healthy to be preoccupied with the devil or afraid of the devil. Those who are baptized into Christ have no need to fear him whatsoever, or to simply ignore him and consider it a fantasy, something that's not real. He's not a real being. He's just a concept or something. Now, that's not true. And so Maximilian was given the grace by the Lord at an extremely difficult time to be able to help equip people for the spiritual battle. And his passion was to evangelize the world and through Marian devotions as a foundational piece of that whole thing. Here's Maximilian. We should not be afraid of the devil. It is the Immaculata who will crush his head. The woman clothed with the sun who crushes the serpent's head. She's involved with spiritual combat all the way to the end and has the, in some ways, of all human beings, the critical role in following Jesus. It really was the whole thing, the mission of the Immaculata is Kolbe's life mission, and converting souls for Christ with Our Lady, again, was his passion. He also created a powerful media apostolate, founded the printing press in Niepokolenau, called the City of the Immaculata in Poland. He published a magazine called The Night of the Immaculata, which reached the circulation of over 1 million people. He had extraordinary energy, like a lot of saints did. Even though so many of the saints suffered bodily, they had lots of things that they had to endure, but they just had a will that was surrendered to the Lord and relied on the power of the Holy Spirit and God's promises. At one point, he moved to Japan in 1930 to really establish a second city of the Immaculata in Nagasaki. That name rings a bell, I'm sure, with you, one of the places where the nuclear bombs were dropped. And he built it on the opposite side of the city where the bomb was dropped, and the City of Immaculata was preserved during that time. He returned to Poland in the 1930s, and he continued to publish. And during that time, he was very involved in helping rescue Jewish people, over 2,000 Jewish people during the Nazi occupation. But he was caught and he was arrested February 17th, 1941. He was imprisoned in Pieoc prison, then transferred to Auschwitz May 28, 1941, and he's prisoner 16670. And then here's the heart of the matter now. In July of 1941, following the escape of a prisoner, the Nazi commandant of Auschwitz ordered the death of 10 men by starvation as a warning. When one of the selected men cried out, "My wife, my children," Kolbe, who was in line, stepped forward and offered to take his place. He said, "I'm a Catholic priest. I want to die for that man. I'm old, and he has a wife and children." Kolbe and the others, those who were condemned, were taken to Block 11, which was a starvation bunker. Now, part of the strategy, the dark, dark, wicked strategy of the Nazis there was to put these 10 men in this bunker and starve them. And what happens when people begin to starve? I mean, the worst of it is they eventually go mad, they lose their mind, or they try to survive, they try to devour someone there in the bunker to be able to. So it's meant to create a place of madness, really kind of insanity and great harm, all the rest, and finally just to starve them to death. But here's what can happen. You know, the whole reality of the gospel, the light that shines in the darkness. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. It's the devil's strategy. We've talked about this many times on the program, friends, to enslave the human race through the fear of death. And demonic powers in that bunker. The Nazis didn't understand it fully from a spiritual perspective, but they understood the fear that human beings have and what they can end up doing to one another in order to survive. It's the dominion of death, the dominion of darkness, and disordered energy in the place instead of the ordered energy of the Holy Spirit and the love of God. And so here's Colby, a saint who is light in the darkness. He died a long time ago. That is, he laid down his life. He surrendered. His dream was to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, who died for our sake. And he was not afraid. He was a light in the darkness. And how did that light get shed? He cared for the inmates with him who were dying. He got them to sing, and they sang hymns. Instead of crazy, screeching madness coming out of the place that would also, people could hear and would cause even more fear in the camp, what people heard were prayers, hymns, singing. They prayed together. He prepared them to die in the Lord. And he helped them meditate on the passion of Christ and helped them see and understand that they were participating. And if they gave themselves to the Lord, if they surrendered to him, if they opened their hearts to him, if they walk through this passion with prayer, with love, they were going to imitate Christ. And what the devil meant to be nothing but bad, darkness, horrific reality, hopelessness. Now, because of the presence of a saint who was free, who was filled with courage, not afraid to sustain a wound for the sake of the gospel, and in this case, for the sake of the love of the brethren, he understood there's no greater love than this, Jesus said, than to lay down your life for your brother or your sister. And that's exactly what Colby did. And that's why he's recognized by the church. He was canonized. He was beatified in 1971 by Paul VI, canonized by the Polish Pope October 10th, 1982, John Paul II. He was the martyr of charity. Maximilian did not die, but he gave his life for his brothers. He gave his life for others. Do you see the power of a Christian mind, of a Christian will that's filled with the grace and power of the Holy Spirit, that is the strength of the prayers of the saints and Our Lady? You can endure anything. We're the light of the world, friends. Let's take the model of Maximilian and ask him today to help us to surrender our lives with that courage for the sake of others. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future, and it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.